To West Clarksville Baptist Church, we are glad you have chosen to start 2023 worshiping here with us. So everyone who's here, welcome. Everyone joining us online, welcome to you as well. We do have a few prayer, a few announcements before we pray. Today after the service, there will be a meeting of the nominating committee in the room right around the corner here. We will be meeting this week and next week. Upcoming events, we have a business meeting on January 25th. That is a Wednesday. That will be 6 p.m. here at church. This Wednesday, we will be having prayer meeting at 6 p.m. That will be on Zoom. So if you would like to join that and do not know how, please let me know. And I will walk you through a pretty convoluted process because I don't fully understand it myself. But the business meeting will be here at church. And so as far as announcements go, I believe that is everything. So let's pray and we will begin worshiping the Lord in song. Dear God, thank you that we can come together today, that we can gather here and lift your name up. I pray that as we embark on a new year, that you would help us to do so recognizing that that you are the reason we can celebrate a new year coming. You are the creator and you're the sustainer of our lives. And I pray that as we bring a new year in, that you would help us to do so in recognition of who you are and with joy and excitement in sharing that with others. And I pray these things in your son's name. Amen. There's a clipboard here to be passed around.
I'm not Kim, just for the record. Kim, where'd you go? Oh, there's Kim. Hey. Let's stand and sing our call to worship, please. This is 8:11, if you're working from the hymnal, and another year is dawning. New words, familiar hymn, music. Verse 1.
Another year is dawning.
Ushers, if you would come forward. You have the opportunity now to take up this morning's offering. Worship God through giving. Much from God in 2022 and much from God in our lives. And this is an opportunity to give back. Richard, would you lead us in prayer, please?
We do thank you for this time together. We thank you for who you are and what you do for us every day. We want this time of to praise you for what you've given us this past year. Take the time to bless the offering and use it for you need for us. It's very all good. Precious name. Amen.
But from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's continue in song, and we'll sing 5:10, Heaven Came Down. We're going to do all three verses. Savior I met. Oh, the tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy in telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. So quickly was made when at the sinner I came. Stook of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. Sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Okay, let's do 266, a beautiful name. I'm going to do verses 1, 2, and 4. Please remain standing. I know of a name, that beautiful name that angels brought down to earth.
Good morning. I got a little New Year's poem for you. It's entitled, I will be with thee. As the old year now is waning and the new year comes in view, blessed Savior, we acknowledge thou hast led us hitherto. Hitherto, thy many mercies have encompassed every day, and we have thou precious promise, thou will be with us all the way. Never leave thee nor forsake thee, surely I will be with thee. Promise of thy blessed presence, through which new year still to be. Oh, what peace and joy in knowing thou art ever by our side, and thy loving hand of wisdom will forever be our guide. In what blessed reassurance that the mighty arm of power, that same power that made the heavens, guards and keep us every hour. What a merciful Redeemer, what a wondrous Savior too, what a gracious loving Shepherd who has led us hitherto. Could you ever doubt thy goodness? Could we doubt thy loving care? No. Thy matchless love and mercy will be with us everywhere. And thy love and goodness to us are beyond all human thought, for thou lovest without measure, thine with blood so dearly brought. Entering another new year, pausing we would contemplate all thy love's accomplishment for us all thy mercies, oh so great. And we praise thee for assurance, who has led us hitherto, that thy presence will go with us every day the new year through. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being here with us on the start of a new year. And may we be better in the coming year, Lord, than we were in the last. May we do great things for you with our a new pastor, Lord. And may we be by his side and help him as he preaches and teaches us and what the Lord has laid upon his heart. Place your word upon our hearts, Lord, and may we take a lost, may we take these truths to a lost and dying world. And Father, as we leave this place, may we say it was a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
One more song. If you would, let's stand again, and we'll sing together. 438, Jesus Saves, verses 1, 3, and 4.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Kindness leaps and washes the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Living out a battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. Thus our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Okay. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, music team. If you open your scriptures to Luke chapter 2, we'll be in Luke 2 today, not on a Christmas message, but on a week after Christmas message. So the offense we will be reading about took place 8 days after Christ's birth, so it seemed appropriate that 7 days after celebrating Christ's birth, we take a look at them here. And so we will be in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. I am going to read those aloud if you want to follow along in your own copy of Scripture. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken to him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Dear God, as we come to this passage and we have been celebrating Jesus coming to earth, I pray that as we continue in that celebration, as we continue with the celebration of Simeon here, that you would help us to understand the glory of your salvation and the wonderful news that we received in Jesus coming to earth. I pray that as we look at this passage, you would open our hearts, open our minds. Pray that it will be your thoughts and your words and not my own. And that as we leave here today, that we would leave here knowing Jesus better and loving him more than when we came in. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen. So we see here the heart of the Christmas story in this passage that takes place a week after Christmas. We see a person here who we can kind of put ourselves in his shoes, maybe not specifically, but we can understand he is somewhat of a symbol of the salvation Christ came to bring. And when we see this person, it strikes us that he's not a man of massive power. He's not a man of massive influence. He's a humble person, and he's a character by the name of Simeon. And what we learn about Simeon is entirely in these 10 verses in the Bible. He's not mentioned elsewhere. He's not talked about later. He's not talked about before now. What we learn about him here is the entirety of what we get on this character. And yet, we can discern quite a bit about Simeon and discern quite a bit about Christ through these 10 verses. The first thing we want to look at is these first 5 verses where we get our description of Simeon. Simeon was not a person who was relying on his own righteousness, not a person who was relying on his own wisdom. Verses 25 through 30, really 25 through 27 say, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said. So we can piece together some things about Simeon's character just by these few verses. This passage describes him as just. That speaks to his commitment of treating people in accordance with God's will. Simeon was a person who saw others through the eyes that God saw them through. As we go on through the life of Jesus and as we examine his life, we can see many people who were in the same kind of circles as Simeon, who sought to exploit, who sought to put down, who sought to diminish others for their own gain. But this passage tells us Simeon was a just person. His interactions with others were a reflection of his relationship with God. His interactions with others were a reflection of the value God placed on them. But it doesn't just say Simeon was a nice guy. It doesn't just say Simeon treated other people nicely and other people liked him. Because you can treat other people nicely and have other people like you and still be someone who's far from God. It also says he was devout in verse 25. It says he was just and he was devout. And so not only was he committed to treating others with fairness, to treating others with kindness and grace in the way that God would want him to, he was committed to seeking God. He was committed to seeking to understand God. He was committed to seeking to live by God's standards. He didn't just say, wow, I have a good reputation, other people like me, I'm going to count this one as a W and move on. He wanted not only to treat other people the way God would have him treat them, but he wanted to properly and devoutly, according to this passage, follow God in what God called him to do. And because of that, Simeon is a unique character here in the book of Luke. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, that is something that we talk about very frequently throughout the New Testament because of the coming of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost and the fact that the Holy Spirit now indwells believers of Jesus. It was not the same way prior to the church age. But it says here, Simeon was a person who had the Holy Spirit upon him. We can also see that John the Baptist was someone, according to Luke 1, who had the Holy Spirit upon him from before his birth. These are unique circumstances. This was not something that was true of everyone. When we look through the Old Testament, we can see the Spirit of God on certain people, but there are certain people that have it and lose it, as is the case with King Saul, as is the case with King David. There are certain people who seek the Spirit of God, but it says Simeon had the Spirit of God upon him, and he had a special message from God, that he would not see death until he had recognized the salvation that God was bringing about. The consolation of Israel, the Lord's Christ. So what this has led people to believe, and I know that we've seen this story on Flannel Graph, and Simeon is a super old dude, and I'm not here to say he wasn't. What I am here to say is the Bible doesn't tell us if he was old or if he was like, you know, 28, and God just had been like, hey, man, before you die, and he lived like 70 more years. Who knows? But we know that this is something that Simeon had been looking forward to earnestly, right? Doesn't matter if Simeon was 100 years old or if Simeon was 20 years old. We can see from his reaction that this was a big deal to him. And that sets him up as an example of the people who would come to follow Jesus. He was devoted, he was righteous, but he was still in recognition of what Jesus was coming to do. Here was his reaction when he was confronted with this baby, when he was able to take this baby up in his arms. It doesn't say he was handed the baby, so paint your own picture here. But he takes the baby up in his arms. Here's his reaction. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you... wait, I'm going to stop there. Time out. For my eyes have seen your salvation. And we'll pretend I stopped there. Because even though Simeon was this person with this reputation, with this... Well, it wasn't just his reputation, with this mindset of treating others correctly and following God to the best of his abilities, devoting himself to that. When Simeon comes face to face with Jesus, he goes, there is the salvation God is bringing. Simeon understood his need for a Savior. all the things that Simeon did to be counted as just and devout, he knew were not enough to satisfy the requirement of the law. Even though the Bible describes him with high praise, with glowing terms, when he sees Jesus, he says, "Here is the salvation that I have been waiting for. Here's the salvation that I need." Imagine this moment, right? You're Simeon. You may be old, you may not be. God has not spoken to his people that they know of for 400 years. Now, we're in Luke 2 and Luke 1 and all of Luke 2 previous to this has been God speaking to his people, but it's not widespread news at this point. It's been 400 years since the last prophet. Do you want to put that in a scope of American history? It's been 402 years since the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, which is where they landed, right? Yes. Killed it in history class, guys, I'm telling you. And so if you think about history through that scope, right? It's been a really long time since the pilgrims got to Plymouth Rock. We can all agree on that. The Mayflower and all of that kind of stuff. We all learned that as really old history prior to even the founding of our nation. That is the same gap of time that Simeon was looking back over to see when the last time God had sent a prophet to his people was. And now all of a sudden, he's heard from God. He knows that he will see the Messiah. He will see the salvation that God is bringing about before his death. And here he is at the temple, the place where God and man would come to commune all this time, the place that God had set apart as the place where he would be worshiped, where he would be communicated with, where he would accept sacrifice and nowhere else. And Simeon is able to take the God man into his arms and recognize the salvation that is coming. That isn't just, wow, what a neat moment for Simeon. How cool is that? The old guy gets his due, maybe. That is a massive, hugely impactful moment for all of mankind. Because here he is at the temple among a people who has not heard from God for 400 years. And he's holding a baby in his arms that he recognizes as the fulfillment of all the prophecies that he had read about. We can look all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, the first time God promises mankind a savior. And it all comes full circle here with Simeon in the temple, holding a baby. This is not just about one guy getting to see Jesus and then dying. This is about God coming to rescue mankind. And Simeon getting to be the person that recognizes that. And so as Simeon takes this baby into his arms, Simeon, this person of character, this person of devotion, he recognizes this is the complete salvation that God promised us so long ago. This is the baby that will bring to fruition God's plan of salvation. It is the same for every single one of us. Not that we hold a baby in the temple, but that we recognize that Jesus Christ who's coming to earth, we just celebrated, is the only way to salvation. Simeon recognized it. And that's why Simeon had the reaction he did. He didn't go, oh, cool, a baby. Oh, it's the God baby. All right. For Simeon, this was the culmination of his entire life. In verse 29, he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Simeon goes, now I have seen the thing that will define my life, and I am ready to go. God takes me tomorrow, I will go in peace, because I have seen the salvation. I have seen with my own two eyes that God has come to the rescue of mankind. And we know that Simeon understood the rescue that God was bringing because of the next two verses, in verses 31 and 32. Simeon recognized who this message was for. He says, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So here we have Luke, the writer of this book, who was a Gentile. He was not Jewish, writing presumably to a Gentile audience, given that he addressed it to Theophilus, which is a Greek name. And this is the first time where Luke, a Gentile writer writing to a Gentile audience, acknowledges that salvation is coming for the Gentiles, which is pretty good news for me, at least, because I'm not Jewish. Maybe some are, maybe some are not. But this is Luke acknowledging this is for everybody. Salvation is for all. We can see his words kind of echoing the words of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 49. It says, and now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Many people in Simeon's day wanted to see the Messiah because they wanted to see a bunch of Roman soldiers get killed and be free again. They wanted to go back to the times of David and of Solomon, where they were this powerful, prominent kingdom in their area, and overthrow the yoke of the Romans. That's the salvation they were looking for. A restoration of their nation so that they could have back their civic pride. We see that through history. We see that many people had come along and promised to free the Israelites from the Greeks or the Romans or whoever was ruling over them at the time, and gathered a following and led a revolt, and then usually the revolt would fail and those people would die and they'd go back to wishing for a Messiah again. But Simeon recognized what Jesus was really coming to do, right? He didn't say, I've seen the salvation of Israel. This dude is going to lead us against the Romans and he's going to win. He's going to sit on the throne of David, and we are going to be this powerful, proud nation again, not ruled over by somebody who lives way far away. What Simeon sees is the salvation that God has prepared for everyone, for the Gentiles and for Israel alike. You see, Jesus didn't come to establish some worldly kingdom. We know that by the fact that he said he didn't. He didn't come to overthrow Romans. He didn't come to institute some new kingdom here on earth. He came to establish a kingdom and a throne that would never fail and never be overthrown. You want to know something about the Roman rule of Judea, as it was called at the time, is it ended eventually. If you go there now, it's not still ruled by Caesar. There is no Caesar now. It's not still ruled over by someone else. It's not still ruled over by Rome. All of that would eventually come to pass anyway. What Jesus came to do is to establish a kingdom that would not have an end date. Rome had an end date, and it kind of depends on what you count as the overthrow of Rome, as when that end date is, but it's over now. I think we can all agree, right? Nobody's still paying like taxes to Rome, are you? Good. If you are, you can stop. Rome would have an end date. The Greek Empire before that had an end date. The Mongol Empire, which would come up later, had an end date. Every nation, every empire, everything on earth has an end date. Christ's kingdom does not. As followers of Jesus now, we have heard the message here. 2,000 years later, thousands of miles from where Jesus was born and lived. He never came to New York. He never even actually made it to the US of A, guys. But it spread through the whole world, the message about this baby that Simeon was holding, and he was the first to recognize that. He was the first to recognize this child is going to bring salvation, not just to our people, not just to overthrow Rome, but to bring about salvation for everyone in the whole world. This will be global. We now stand here at a point in time where we have almost 2,000 years of church history to look back on and reflect that the message of Jesus has reached to almost every corner of the globe. Almost everywhere you can go on earth, at some point, the message of Christ has reached there. Some places it's thrived, some places it hasn't. Some places we're still trying to reach, but we can stand here and say, look at all the places that the message of Jesus has reached. The Bible's been translated into more languages than any other book. Simeon stood at the exact opposite end of that, where the message of Christ had reached a very small spot in the world. And he was able to look, and he was able to see, and he was able to watch as God's plan came to fruition. And he looked forward down the annals of history, and he said, because of this baby right here, the message will go out everywhere, all over. To places Simeon didn't know existed, to places Simeon couldn't comprehend existing, but to places where the message has reached that Jesus is the Son of God and he's come to bring salvation for all. And yet, in recognizing that, Jesus also recognized the nature of who, Simeon also recognized the nature of who Jesus is. Let's look at verses 33 through 35, because Simeon recognizes the divisive nature of Jesus. Simeon gets done with his speech. He's just randomly picked up a baby, made the speech. People take notice. It says, Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so in praising God for his intervention in human history, Simeon also saw the nature of the salvation that Jesus was coming to bring. Not everyone would believe in Jesus. And in fact, within his own family, when we look at Mary and Joseph's own children, they would not initially believe that Jesus was who he says he was. When we look through the life of Christ, we see many people reject him. We see many people go, you aren't who you say you are. You've gotten your power from Satan, and thus, we're going to avoid you. Jesus was a divisive figure, and he still is. He faced resistance from corrupt and selfish people, and ultimately, his divisiveness would lead to a Roman governor assenting to his execution despite not finding him to be in violation of any law in order to keep the peace. Jesus preached salvation to the lowly. He preached salvation to the downtrodden. He called on the wealthy and well-to-do to forsake their power and forsake their wealth and follow him. And some did. Some would follow. Some would hear the message of salvation that Jesus was bringing and just like Simeon, recognize that for what it was. God coming to rescue his people. But some would rise in opposition. Some would not only reject Christ, but seek to dissuade others from accepting Christ. And it's no different today. Jesus is still a divisive figure. Jesus is still offering salvation to any who would come. And there are still those who accept, and there are still those who choose to reject Christ and oppose him. Many people today like to make statements on what would disqualify someone from being a follower of Jesus or someone from being right with God. And in Jesus' time, many made similar statements on what disqualifies you from being right with God. Christ say it came to set those things straight. Right? Where there were blind, he restored their sight. Where others would say, well, that's either his sin or his parents sinned, but he deserves it. Jesus saw that with sympathy. He allowed children to come to him where others said, they're not important enough. There was no one so unimportant. There was no one so far down on the rungs of society that Christ would not reach them. And there was no one so rebellious and sinful that he would not offer salvation. It's the same today. Jesus is divisive. Some people choose to reject him. Some people try to dissuade others from ever accepting him or following him the way that they are called to do. Simeon saw that. Simeon recognized that many would oppose Christ, that Mary herself would suffer tragedy because of the opposition to Christ. And yet, we see this passage as a celebratory passage. Simeon didn't say, well, actually, some people aren't going to like this baby, so I'm going to put him down now and distance myself. Simeon celebrated the salvation that God was bringing about. He recognized that not everyone would celebrate that. Not everyone would celebrate Jesus' birth. We read in the book of Matthew that King Herod, when he heard of the birth of Christ, was not in a celebratory mood. Right? A couple Wednesday nights ago, we looked at the character of King Herod. And King Herod, when anything happened, basically, his first instinct was, I need to kill everyone involved in order to maintain my power. And it was no different with the birth of Christ. He didn't celebrate. He didn't go, oh, good, salvation's here. All these terrible things I've done, I know I can be made right with God. He said, let's kill that baby and let's kill all the other babies just to make sure we got that one. As we consider the salvation Christ came to offer, we need to also consider the opposition that we will face if we choose to follow. If we choose to fall in with the life that Jesus led, we need to understand that Simeon, as he spoke about the opposition Christ would receive, recognize that Christ's followers would receive opposition. But that ultimately the salvation Christ was coming to bring was worth far more than that. So as we close here, we look at this guy Simeon. He stood at a transition point in history, quite literally. You know, when I was a kid, I guess it's not the case anymore. Actually, I know it's not the case anymore. When I was a kid, we learned our years as BC and AD, right? Literally saying, here's all the stuff that happened before Jesus was born, and now here's stuff that happened after Jesus was born. Now I think it's BCE and CE, but, you know, as Simeon stood there, he recognized that point in history for what it was. It was a turning point. It was the tide turning. God had come to rescue his people, and not just his people Israel, his people humanity. Do we recognize Jesus in the same way Simeon did, or do we miss his purpose in the same way that so many of Simeon's contemporaries did? Because we say, well, Jesus hates all the same people I hate, so he's going to do away with them eventually, and I'm going to laugh. Jesus came to bring salvation. He came to bring grace. Simeon recognized that. He didn't go, yes, get ready, Romans. You're about to get it. Do we recognize that Jesus came to bring salvation for people we don't like? The people that the Israelites did not like, Jesus had many interactions with them. Had many interactions with Romans. Had many interactions with Samaritans. He came to bring them salvation too. Are we recognizing that Jesus came here not just to save me, not just to save my family, not just to save people who look and think and act like me? He came to save people I don't like. He came to save people I can't identify with, I don't associate with. Do we follow him with conviction, understanding that salvation is exclusive to those who have accepted him, exclusive to those who have turned and trusted him for it? But ultimately, comes with opposition from Satan. and the course of this world? Do we cling to the salvation he has offered us as our only hope? Or do we spread out our stock elsewhere and go, well, I like Jesus, but I also don't want other people to not like me. So I'm going to accept Jesus, but I am going to try and blend in here. Simeon recognized he was divisive. He still is. Question is, are we willing to accept that? So as we pray, the musicians will come forward. We'll have a closing hymn. I'll be up here if you want to come up here and talk about something that God has put on your heart. I'd love to talk to you about that. If you want to talk about salvation, if you want to talk about baptism, if you want to talk about church membership, anything like that, if you want to talk about a sin issue that God's laid on your heart, I would love to talk to you about that. But you don't have to come up here and you don't have to talk to me for God's Spirit to work in your life. So I would ask during this closing of our service that we would all just deal with God in our own way. If it's in your own pew, it's in your own pew. If you sit and you don't sing, no one's going to point and go, that guy isn't singing. Just understand, as God prompts you, he wants you to act on what he's prompting you to do. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that as Simeon declared, my eyes have seen your salvation. And that's not been the case physically, but in our souls, we can look back at what Simeon said and we can recognize it's true of us as well. We have seen the salvation that Jesus came to bring. I pray that you would help us to reflect that in our actions, but reflect that in our interactions with others, that you would help us to see others as people Jesus came to bring salvation for as well. And that as we go about our lives, you would help us to be your lights in the world. I pray that you would give us all safety, that you would give those who are not here among us today, traveling or sick, safety and health, and that you would help us to live out your will in our lives this week. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Your voices, turn your eyes upon Jesus in closing.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, everyone, for starting 2023 here, worshiping together. My prayer, and I hope your prayer, for the year 2023 is that God uses us to accomplish his will in our lives, accomplish his will in this community, accomplish his will in the whole world. And so I hope that you pray that with me and that as we move forward, that we would lift each other up, help each other in accomplishing that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that that we can come out and we can worship you today and that we can bring in a new year, recognizing you for who you are and recognizing the salvation you came to bring. And I pray that you would help us encourage one another in that. You'd help us come alongside one another serve one another, exhort one another. And I pray that as we go out today, you would just give us safety on the roads. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.